Harvey Brooks. Welcome.
Hi, Jake.
So you played on Bob Dylan's Highway 61 album, and that was followed by that gig in Forest Hills, Queens, that now famous gig. Can you talk about how that came about?
Well, briefly, the Forest Hills gig came out of the Highway 61 album. That was the evolution. We did Highway 61, then we went down to Carol's rehearsal studio and started rehearsing to play Forest Hills. That's all I knew. And the idea was, right at that time, you know, they were kind of like in between a couple of things, I guess. So it ended up that Bloomfield didn't want to leave Butterfield at that time. And Bobby Gregg didn't want to go out. He didn't want to leave his family in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought Levon in to play drums, Robbie to play guitar. You know, Al was already at keyboards, and I was a bass player. We were from the session. So we did the concert, which was bizarre unto itself. Murray the K is the DJ announcing for Bob. And it was an eerie night. The crowd, I think the people were kind of like split. You know, there's those that didn't want to accept and those that were a little more open-minded. But they were very vocal about their feelings. When we came out, also it seemed like the evening had kind of cooled out a little bit. And it was a wind blowing. It was kind of cold. Lights. You could almost see a mist over the stage. And so, you know, we started to play, and we felt great. It was a lot of fun. At some point, some people kind of ran up, because at that time, the audience didn't sit in front of the stage. At the stadium, everybody was in the stands, and there was a big green field in between the stage and the audience. And that was kind of it. I think the concert went great. Those that loved it, loved it. Those that didn't, didn't. You know, and there was a lot of people, there was just not going to be any compromise with. And Bob was thrilled by it. He made his transition. You know, he was moving on.
Exactly.
And folk rock was born. And after Dylan, I started doing, I became kind of like the folk electric bass player in Manhattan. And so, I played Eric Anderson, Tom Rush, Judy Roderick, a couple of things with Judy Collins, Tom Rush, a little bit with Phil Oakes. And it was just we were all hanging out in Greenwich Village. David Blue.
Yes.
And it was pretty much... That was the era of folk music in Greenwich Village, going from club to club. I mean, I kind of like angled into the Cafe Ogogo. That was kind of my club. I became kind of like the house bass player there, and I played with Richie Havens. I did a Richie Havens album from there. I mean, that came out of that. The Fugs came out of there. Cooper's Bands came out of there. Very interesting time.
Talk of making love. Take your time to bluff your way to stay. Let me use your eyes. Please don't muse with words that cut me down to size.
Harvey, can you talk about your relationship with Tio Macero and how you started working in the studio?
Well, I met met Teal at Columbia. He had the I got the office next to him, and we got into talking, and we were comfortable with each other. He said, you know, Fred, he was a great alto player and an arranger, a wonderful musician. So we got to talking, you know, and one day he says, you know, Miles wants to do a demo with his wife, Betty. And why don't you go down to the studio, give me a couple of days and give me a date, and, you know, go down there and see what this is. You know, and I think Mitch Mitchell was playing drums, McLaughlin was playing guitar, myself, Herbie Hancock, and I think Joe Zawinul were the keyboard players, and Larry Young was the organ player. I don't remember who else.
No, that's just a monster crew right there anyway.
And Betty Davis, Miles' wife at the time.
Sure, sure.
And so we did that, and it was fun. You know, Miles was a riot producing. And
can you talk about why?
Well, you know, it was Miles. You know, he would say funny stuff. You know, and he didn't spare anybody. You know, one of the things with Miles, you kind of got used to him expressing his mind in any way he wanted to. And but, you know, like he would stop takes and he would, you know, he'd go, oh, no. You know, but nobody knew what yeah was. But, you know, he knew what no was.
If he didn't say anything, so, it meant it was a good thing, right? I mean, if he didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a good thing. And after that, you know, he said to me, why don't you come down to the studio and we're going to do some stuff. And that was Bitches Brew.
Harvey has grown older and wiser as his playing career has evolved. He told me opportunities come in all disguises. Today he prefers to take cues from his wife Bonnie as he goes.
My main teacher has been my wife. I mean, it's unbelievable, but she's gotten me to unload so much external stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, time-consuming stuff that is drivel, you know, and just, you know, keep staying on the mark, you know. Get your pictures in your mind of what you want to do with your life and go for it, you know, and be stand up, you know, stand up for it.
Does she just talk you through it, or is it other things too? You know, I mean, how else does she help you sort of keep that focus?
Well, you know, it's a constant dialogue that we have. I mean, we do it for each other, you know, and we spend really good time together, and the things that I'm doing. Yeah, and the music and the teaching, all those kind of things. You know, we have just an ongoing looking out for each other, and I think it makes a big difference.
Oh, I mean,
I think it's
you are hitting on the institution of marriage.
I'm talking about evolution.
Why did you decide to come to Tucson?
Well, we actually had family in Tucson. We had at that time. Bonnie's cousin was here, and it was kind of one of our girls, our daughters, were going to school in somewhere out there. I forget the town at the moment. And so we drove through. I said, well, when we drop her off, you know, we'll go and we'll check out Tucson, and we'll see what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed with Bonnie's cousin for a few days, and I said, you know, this is a nice town. This could be very nice. And our daughter had suggested also that we look at Tucson. And because we were getting out of the winter and getting out of the East Coast mentality. We wanted a little warmer weather, a little more relaxed. And there was a lot of opportunity for us in New York, but, you know, opportunity comes in all different disguises. And so we took a different kind of opportunity. And what a blessing.